My name's Ethan. I'm one of the associate pastors here, and I really love my Savior. Yeah. Woo. I know half of you in the room, you're like, this dude, what in the world is wrong with him? And what's wrong is that I've been made right. And every day I just feel like I get a little bit more, I just cut off one more slice of that piece of bread, and I'm just getting it more and more, and it is taking me down like a freight train. There's something interesting that happens in a room when the purity of Jesus rushes in. It's really magnificent, because when you're worshiping the Lord and a pure heart of worship comes forth, that purity reveals everything. It reveals all other motives. It reveals all other agendas. It reveals our hearts. When purity steps into the room, Jesus himself, truth, it says he's the way, the truth, and the life. When truth steps into a room, anything that's not true is obvious. And purity is something that we in the Western culture of church have not placed value on like we should. The Lord is asking for a bride that is pure. And so you might be thinking, like, pure from sin. That's like probably the first thing you're thinking. And in reality, it is that, but it's pure motive. It's pure desire. It's pure satisfaction. It means that when I worship, I'm not asking for anything in return. I'm pouring my oil out on Jesus. And I don't care whether he says good job or not. I hope he does, right? We all want that, right? But at the end of the day, it's not going to prevent me from pouring my oil. I don't need to worship him and be like, I've got a whole jar full of oil for him, and I'm going to start pouring it out. And if I get halfway and he doesn't pat me on the back, then I'm done. Or if I don't get a feeling or the butterflies, then I'm done. Purity is pure motive. It's pure desire. It's pure satisfaction in the one that you're married to. It means there is no other lover that satisfies you. Do you hear me? There is no other that satisfies you like him. Oh, and he is so calling us to oneness with him. Man, I just love him. I always feel like I get up here and I almost feel like John the Baptist sometimes, where it's like, what is that? What's wrong? Sometimes I'm just like, I feel like the Energizer Bunny. Like I'm plugged in and I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. And you're just like, what is going on? Man, but like his presence and who he is so important. This whole thing is about him. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about him and us establishing his kingdom. And it's amazing that he thinks so much of us that he would die for us. Obviously, we're part of this. And this thing, like, it is reaching the lost. And it's important it's important for us to reach people. But at the end of the day, when you walk through those doors, none of these songs are for you. I heard Michael Culiano say this once from Jesus Image in Florida. They said, I don't like how long worship is in your church services. And he said, well, what would you have me take that time and replace it with? What else would we do? And the person was like stunned because they were like, well, you'd preach or something like that. And he's like, why? He's like, we preach. Don't get it confused that when you walk in the door of a church that this is about pastoral staff and you experiencing something. It's about you bringing an offering and laying it at his feet. It's just not like, it's not about the things we've made it into. You can walk through the doors and say, well, this church gave me didn't do this for me, and this church didn't do that for me, so now I'm here, and man, I just love the program they put together. Man, Lord, cut that out of our hearts. Like, what a joy it is to come before Jesus and look around at all these amazing people and see them all pouring their gifts out upon the Lord. Because you don't have to be a musician. You don't have to sing a certain way. If you were standing next to me like Scott was, I was out of tune the whole time, just screaming my head off, being crazy, not even singing some of the words because I was just like, it's just about you. You've captivated my heart and nothing else can grab my attention anymore. But in worship sometimes, I don't even know why I'm on this. In worship sometimes we get distracted and purity redirects, or at least it shows what we're distracted from. And the Lord is calling each and every single one of us to worship without distraction. Of like, well, I want them to sing this song, or I want them to go back into this chorus. I want them to I want the bridge to be a little bit bigger. I really want somebody to come up and give me a word. Worship is about him. And I promise you, when you pour your oil out, he'll make it about you. He will. When worship is never about us, but when you pour everything out, he will give you something in return. That's just who he is. Man, Jesus, do it today. Just do what you want to do today. It says in the Bible that Jesus said, I am the master of the Sabbath. So this whole church meeting, he's the master of. Like, we yield to King Jesus. He's the master. Man, I just love his name. I'm sorry. Everybody's like, well, are you going to preach? I'm like, I just love his name. I hope my zeal for his name inspires you to learn his names so you can learn what does Master Jesus mean to me? What does him being a teacher to me mean? What does him being a friend or a brother to me mean? Open your Bibles to Luke 10:38-42. We are in the old, out with the old, in with the new series. And today I want to talk about old wants for new desires. I believe people are going to get free today. I believe that a jealous God is in the room and he is going to liberate captive hearts. So Luke 10:38 says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Underline that. Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha. Underline this, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary knew how to come before the Lord and be satisfied. Martha was distracted with much serving, it says. She was distracted by what she wanted. But here's an important part of this verse. Who invited Jesus into the home? Martha invited Jesus into the home. And so how often do we invite Jesus? Come, Lord, do what you want to do. come. And then we don't sit at his feet because we're distracted by many things. I can tell you for myself, I wish that I could say that I've never done that, but man, I've done that more times than I've been married. And I can tell you that being married is so much more better. And it says that Mary chose the good portion. So Martha knew how to invite Jesus in, but Mary knew how to commune with him. See, there's a difference from being somebody who's open to say, yes, Lord, do what you want to do. And there's a difference of that person and somebody who will actually yield and put all their focus in the one who's teaching. He's the teacher, he's the master, he's the king, which means you and I are not. It also means that he has something greater to give you than what you can serve to him. It means that you're serving and you're doing, you know, I'm going to do all these things, or man, I wish it was this way, or why isn't it this way? It should be this way. Those distractions are just causing you anxiety when the Prince of Peace is here to give you peace. When worship is unto the Lord, my desire to see something new about the Lord that I've never seen before. When it's unto him and not to me. And that is where satisfaction in the Lord comes in. That's where new desires come in. Where when I know there's Christians in the room right now, just like me when in my early walk with the Lord, where I got saved and started following the Lord, and I was still struggling with all the sin that I had before. Why is that? Because I didn't learn to sit at his feet. Because to me, it was like, yeah, Jesus is so great. He's so awesome. I love everything he has to say. That's why I invited him in, right? That's why I invited him over, because he's awesome. But I'm over here eating things that he never called me to eat and consuming things that he never called me to consume because I'm trying to fulfill something and fulfill a need. I'm so glad he's in my house. But it's hard to be satisfied by him because I have to sit at his feet when there's many other things to think about. There's many other things that can draw my attention. Bill Johnson says this. He says, I've never seen a single revival end because of too much passion for the Lord. I've never seen a revival end because people were too passionate. Why do revivals end? Because our gaze was fixed, and then we got satisfied by something else. We were so satisfied in everything he'd do, in our services, everything like that, and then all of a sudden something started to taste decent. And then you start going, eating to just little by little, and then eventually something old and not good taste new, even though it's dead. In Luke 7:36 through 50, it says this, is after Simeon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner, Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simeon's home, he took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets known to all to be a prostitute. When he heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, underline that, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her place, from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. When Simeon saw this, what was happening, he thought, this man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would have known that what kind of a sinful woman is touching him. Jesus said, Simeon, I have a word for you. Go ahead, teacher, I want to hear it. It's the only thing Simeon got right in this passage. I have a word for you.
Okay.
You got one right, buddy. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owned $10,000. And when it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind of banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owned. Tell me, Simeon, which of the two debtors would be more thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Simeon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greater debt forgiven. You're right, Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simeon about the woman still weeping at his feet. So picture this. You're at a dinner party in somebody's living room. In the middle of everybody's just chilling, a prostitute walks in, starts bawling her eyes out in the middle of your living room at your party. And she starts pouring out oil onto his feet, and she's weeping and crying. Purity exposed impurity. Her act of pure worship caused him to say, this doesn't look right. This doesn't look the way I want it to. This doesn't look like real worship. If it was real worship, it'd be in the synagogue. Jesus continues. He says, do you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you didn't bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting, but from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven of all of her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume that they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. Isn't it interesting that she walked in weeping, ready to give an offering to someone who has not yet said, your sins are forgiven? Because an immoral, impure person saw the purity of Jesus. And what it did was it showed the need to be made pure, the need to be reconciled, the need to be forgiven, to be washed clean. And she walks up to the Prince of Peace himself, lays down at his feet, weeping, because she needed him. And then Jesus said to the woman at your feet, all your sins are forgiven. All the dinner guests said among themselves, who is the one who can even forgive sins? Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. Purity revealed everything in that room. It revealed the wrong desires. It revealed the old ways of doing something, and this is the new way of doing something. Do you understand? The old ways looks like dignity. It looks like doing things with an upright posture, right? And the Lord is calling us to be the least of these, to be poor in spirit. To be so poor in spirit that we come before the Lord, whether we've been saved for 40 years or just today, and just fall at his feet and be like, there's none like you. There's none. I've sought the earth for something that satisfies, and there's nothing. It's only you. So you're saying like, well, Ethan, you're just really passionate about this. You're just on fire. You're a young guy. No, dude, I've been doing this for like 12 years now. Every year he gets more better. And it's not that he's getting more better. I'm seeing more of who he is. When I've laid at his feet, I'm starting to see the holes in his hands. I'm starting to see the hole inside. I'm starting to see his eyes. Because my new desires are to see him. He took my desires for lust and pornography, and what I did was I traded those desires for him. I didn't try to just not sin. I didn't just try to be like, well, I'm just not going to sin anymore. I'm just going to not do it. I did that for a long time. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put everything away. I'm just not going to think about it. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, sin. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. This seems pretty good. Oh, my back is itching. You know, I know Jesus could like fix that, but 5 minutes of this will do. I know I could go to the Lord and he could just heal me, but this Band-Aid will do. Because that's all sin is. Sin is just a Band-Aid. All it is a Band-Aid. That's why it's so bad. Would you ever put a Band-Aid that was in a swamp on your wound? That's basically what sin is. I know this has probably got E. coli and all kinds of crazy stuff on it, but we'll slap it on the wound. At least it's covered, right? And nobody can see it. At least nobody can see it. Even Jesus, I don't want him seeing that. But Jesus is calling us like the prostitute to come before him and say, here's all my junk. Here's all the things, all my past, all my failures, and I pour it out on your feet. Heal me, Jesus. Give me a new desire. So people are going to get free today because we're going to give our old wants for new desires. We're going to give our old ideas of things that would fulfill us, and we're going to ask him to show us those new satisfactions. Whew. Luke 5, 36 through to 39. Jesus said, he also did that, told them this parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old one. Otherwise, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new fermenting wine will expand and burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Right here, listen to this. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new, for he says the old wine is fine. The Passion Translation says it this way. New wine must always be poured into new wineskins, yet you say the old ways are better, and you refuse to even taste the new wine that I bring. Old is familiar and comforting. Old and what you've been doing and how you've been doing it, how you've been concealing it, the process of going back to the same thing is so much more comforting than going a new way. It's so much more easy. It just is. It's easier to just put yourself in neutral, make the decisions that you make and keep going. But Jesus is calling you to a singular groom. One. He's calling you to him. He wants a bride whose eyes are single, who are on the one. And he deserves it. But you're like, well, it's just not that easy. It's not. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, my bread is food. Jesus, with the woman at the well, it says that the disciples went into town to go get Jesus food. And then when they came back, they said, here's the food. And he was like, I'm not hungry anymore. And they were like, what? Who fed you? And he said, I've been doing the will of my Father. I think in the New Living Translation, it says, doing the will of the Father is nourishment to me. He's like, I'm already full because I listen to the voice of the Lord. And man, this reality of realizing that one word from Jesus today will fulfill my heart so much more than going back to lust, to going back on the internet and trying to find something that will just like meet my need for a moment. You can be free. Dude, you can be free. That's why he came. It is for freedom that he set you free. So why are we stuck in old wine? Well, this just, it tastes familiar, it tastes good. It doesn't taste as good as Jesus, I can tell you that. Because when you drink this, you're going to feel shame, you're going to feel guilt, you're going to wonder, why in the world am I doing this? You're going to internalize everything. You're going to start being closed off to the people who want to really love you. It's just a pattern of going around and around and around of isolation. And Jesus said, I made myself vulnerable so that you could be vulnerable with me. He wants a bride that's passionate about him. I said this to Bill before we started. I was like, this whole new wine, old wine thing, in our time, it'd be like, Jesus just gave you a brand new Tesla. And you're like, oh, sweet, I got a brand new Tesla. This is awesome. I think I'm going to put a Pontiac Grand Am hood on it. It seems right. Maybe replace a couple of the doors with a Pontiac Saturn door. Seems right. Anybody who drives a Pontiac Saturn, they're like, I got to get out of here. I had a Pontiac Grand Am, that's why I said it. It's like taking something brand new that he's given you, and you're like, I like it the old way a little bit. I'm not into this whole electric thing. It's too torquey. He's made a way, a better way. And all we have to do is submit to it. In John 6:35 through 59, it says this, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that whoever looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Listen to this part. So the Jews grumbled about him and said, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Verse 48, one of my favorite verses right here. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Let me stop there. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. What Jesus did on the cross is an opportunity to commune with him, to have relationship with him, and to be satisfied by what he accomplished for you. He opened the door for you to be satisfied by everything he's done for you. You're like, I'm just not getting it, Ethan. When you eat from the word that he gave you, when you consume it, it fills your stomach to the brim. There's no more room for anything else. And so often, we like to eat a little bit of what Jesus said, and then we're like, I kind of like this too, though. I like this. I also like this. But he's saying, no, like when you eat, you will be satisfied. My body is true bread. My blood is true drink. Are you hungry for something more? It's in Jesus. Are you thirsty for something more? It's in Jesus. You're like, this is just religious jargon, whatever. You're just preaching a message. No, it is. Finding your desires, fighting your old desires with new desires works. It does. Your old desires are no match for the one who satisfies every desire. They're no match for it. It will run them over every single time. So if you're struggling with sin, go spend time with Jesus. Wake up in the morning, spend time with Jesus. Because when he speaks one word to you, I promise it will fill your heart to the brim and overflowing. You say, I just can't help but go back to it. I'm addicted to this thing. Get addicted to Jesus. I am addicted to this man, Jesus. I have to have his word in my heart. I have to hear his word. I have to consume it. Lydia can tell you, can't you? Like, if I don't have time with Jesus, I just want to like, It almost makes me angry because I'm just like, I need time with my Savior. I need to be with him. Because I know if I'm not with him, those old desires are going to start calling me back. They just will. They're going to keep on calling my name. But you know the strongest defense of that is being full already. Have you ever ate at an all-you-can-eat buffet and then you go out and you're like, oh, there's another all-you-can-eat buffet. I should go on there too. You're like, no, you had all-you-can-eat. You know what I mean? You're full. You're not going to go find something else. You're full. It's the same thing with Jesus. When you find fulfillment in what he says about you, to you, about the world, when you just know, like, this is more rich than anything else. I don't even need to chase money because you're rich to me, God. There's richness in your presence. I feel so wealthy when I'm with you. Because he doesn't work off of a budget. He works off abundance. He has more than enough for you. And so these things start calling, hey, come to this all-you-can-eat buffet. No, I'm already full. I'm not hungry anymore because I'm right here. Babe, you want to come up and tell that story? Lydia's going to come up. My beautiful wife. We were just in South Carolina, Charleston, and we had one of the coolest things happen. We were out to dinner, and we get done with dinner, and all of a sudden, all these people, we just start running into people, and it was so beautiful. I want Lydia to, you have a microphone. She has a microphone. Where'd you get that? Okay, cool. This is my wife. I love her. Go for it. Tell the story.
Yeah, so we're on vacation, and we kind of just like go in towns that feel small enough you can just walk everywhere. And so we were walking to dinner to eat ramen because ramen is the best. And we got approached by a woman who she just approached us and said, "Hey, do you have any money? Like, do you have any money?" And we were like, "No, we don't. But if you know where a market is."
Yeah, we didn't have cash.
We didn't have cash. We had a card. Yes. Yeah. You know where a market is, we've got a debit card, we can buy you food. She's like, "Well, you know, I really need food. I need food for my grandson." And so we're like, "Okay, well, do you know where a market is? We'll take you there." So she's like, "Oh yeah, it's right over here. It's right over here." So we're walking with her, we're asking her name. Her name's Jackie, and find out she's from Detroit, and she's down in Charleston, and we're walking in there, and she's very timidly just saying, like, "Well, I'd like just like one of these mac and cheese. If I can get two, or like a dollar. If I get two, just so I have one for my grandson and myself as well." And we're like, "No, just grab what you want. Grab as much toilet paper as you want. Grab whatever. We fill, we're going back and forth between this tiny little, the checkout counter.
Yeah, it's like this.
And we're like, it's like this big. And we're like filling it and like, be like, okay, fill the bags first and we'll bring more and then we'll move it. And so we go out and we're getting to know her and we just ask her if she knows Jesus and just trying to reach her through being like the hands and feet, not so much just preaching at her. And had a great conversation with her. End up leaving, it's like $70 out, totally worth it. And we go to dinner. And then on the way back, like 45 minutes later, we get approached by another woman. And she comes up to us and says, hey, do you know what the Passover is? Do you know Jesus? Do you know what the Passover is? And we're like, yes. Like what?
You've asked the right person.
Yes. And so we just start talking to her. And she's just out evangelizing to people. So we talk to her for a while and encourage her. And we go on our way. And then we get stopped again 10 minutes later. And this is a man named Leroy. And he stops us. And he's really hungry. And he's asking us if we have any food. And we said, we don't. But we already got prepared from Jackie's. We're like, if you know where a market is.
We literally were like, it was so cool. Because
we got like the practice of knowing.
Yeah, Jackie gave us the practice. And then Leroy comes up. He's like, do you guys have any food? And we were like immediately like, show us to the nearest market. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like it was just like ready to just accomplish the task. It was like, let's do it.
So there
we
was
need to carry cash more apparently.
So there was no market.
Sorry.
Do you want to tell it?
No, you go for it, babe. I brought you up here for a reason.
Okay, so there's no market near, and we know there's, like, a killer dessert place, like, a block away. So we're like, let us take you to go get the best cake of your life. He mentions he's diabetic, and he's got heart issues, and he's like, I can't have that. I can't do it. And so he's like, but you know what you could do for me? He's like, pray for me. He said if you could just pray that God would take away every single desire in me that's not of him, then that's enough. And so we're like, okay, like we can totally do that. And so we start praying. We get like halfway through our statement. And then he said, and pray for me that I would experience him more. And pray for me that I would feel him every day. And pray for me that I would be touched by him and that he would heal my heart and he would heal the problems with my heart and with my blood sugar. And he's just directing us in what to do. And we're over here like, we're pastors, but like you're like leading us right now. Like you are, like we're learning. And it felt like part of us, we walked away from it after and we were just like, did we really just meet a person or was that just an angel like coming to train us on? And we got done with praying and we said, Leroy, like, please let us take you to market. We know where one is. It's like a little bit of a walk, but we're willing to walk you down and take it. He says, no, I'm full. I'm full now. And we are like, yeah, but we can take you to a market. And we're just still like kind of in the natural place at first. And he like shook us out of it. And he looked at us with just the intensity of Jesus' eyes. And he said, I'm full. Like you just fed me. Jesus fed me when you prayed for me. I'm full now. That's all I needed. And he said, but don't pass me by again. We're going to see each other again one day and don't pass me by. And so we bid adieu and not 15 feet later, we're walking by a man who's in the trash can with a styrofoam to-go plate and he's eating around chicken bones that have already been chewed on, trying to pick off. I've never seen poverty like this. We've been in third world countries doing mission trips. I've never seen poverty like this. His toenails are grown over, touching the pavement. He's not wearing shoes, like rags. Like, I've never seen this kind of poverty. And he's eating around. And we walk right by him. And then Ethan goes, what are we doing? Leroy just told us, don't pass him by, don't pass him by. And we just passed him by.
And it wasn't like, sorry, I'm like emotional because, dude, let me just pause at Leroy real quick. When Leroy said, don't worry, I'm full, I was just like, man, dude, We wanted to get him something to eat so bad. And when he said, no, I'm full. And we were like, no, we need to get you something. He was like, no, I am full. That realization that we were being fed by the Lord for doing his will. That out of this whole vacation, it was a week-long vacation, and the best part of our whole vacation was doing the will of Jesus. And like, we're eating. It's like we had dinner with Leroy because we were just eating the word of the Lord, where it says like, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me. Like, in that moment, it was like we were talking to Jesus himself. In this realization of like, most of the time when we go on vacations, we're so concerned about our time and our experience and us getting rest.
Yeah,
recharging. And like, the Lord just interrupted our day, and it was so much more fulfilling than any other part of the whole trip.
Yeah, so we turn around quickly and we go to the man that's at the trash can, and he's eating out, and he's not in his right mind.
He was mute.
He's mute, and he was, you could tell he was like disturbed, and we're just asking him, do you need food? Do you need something to eat? And he starts kind of miming out to us what he would want. We finally nail down what he wants from just head nods, and we go like, don't leave. Stay here. We know where this thing is. And we like book it. We're like running. We're running down because we know there's like a pizza place down the road.
And this is on Market Street in Charleston, which is one of the most popular streets. And there's hundreds of people walking by us. Like, within that span of time, probably 100 people walked by us.
Yeah.
And we're walking by this man.
Walking by him. Walking by. And we bring, so we get pizza and everything. We run back. We're like, oh my gosh, is he even going to be there? And he's sitting on the corner against a wall, and he's waiting for us. And it's getting cold. Like, it's just, it is getting cold there in the evening. He doesn't have a shirt on, has this like robe type thing, no shoes. And we bring him food. And we're asking if we can pray for him, what else does he need? Are you gonna be here for a while? And the communication was kind of hard. And Ethan's just like standing there, like, what else can I give? Because at that point we'd already experienced the words of Jesus coming out of Leroy of like, don't pass me by. We're gonna see each other again. Can you believe that? Like, there's gonna be people that you break bread with in heaven at his table one day, and that you have the opportunity to break bread with them on this side of eternity.
Or imagine, like, you get to heaven, you're sitting at that table, and there's people who you've walked by.
You know, and you see them again, and you recognize them again.
Yeah.
And so Ethan, he's got like a $30 like Nike hoodie on. He's like, you're gonna be cold, like, use this. And he's telling us, no. And Ethan's pulling up. He's like, no, you're taking my hoodie. Like, you can use it to sit on, just so you don't have to sit on the ground. Or I don't care what you do with it. Just, you're going to need it. You're like out here in the cold. And, you know, we do that, and we leave, and we're just walking away like completely shook that $100 of our money, you know, it's not a big chunk of money. And maybe it is to you at one point, but it's not that big that it's not worth giving somebody their meal. It's just not. And we're walking away, and we're like, Jesus's mercy just like flooded through our evening, where you can be so focused on yourself. You can be so focused on the desires of your heart, what you want, the goals that you have. I'd like to do this by the time I turn 30. I'd like to hit this career path by this time. And Jesus' will is that we would be the hands and feet. And there's this desire that is birthed when you just follow his word. When you just come in line with what his word tells you to do. If you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm called to, I have no idea. Just do what the Bible says. Feed those that have no food. Clothe those that have no clothing. Give a home, a place for them to rest their head when they have nothing. And then he gives these amazing gifts within it. Because the next morning, Tanya Looney, who used to come here, she's down in Louisiana, she messages us, not even 12 hours later.
And we don't know her very well. Like,
yeah.
We know her from when she came here, but we don't know her very well.
And she messages us and says, like, what's your Cash App or your Venmo? Jesus told me to give you a gift. And we're like, you don't have to do that. Like, we're good. Don't worry about it. We don't want you to have to do that. And she's like, no, like, Holy Spirit told me to. I need to do it now. And she Cash Apps us the exact amount that we spent the night before. And what that does is it's not just Jesus repaying you. It's two things. It's him showing you that he was on what he had you doing and that he's pleased by it. But then also, Tanya's faith was built because in that moment, she knew, I was so in tune with God that by being obedient, there was an impact through my hands to somebody states away.
And by that, her going, the Lord saying, I want this from you. As an act of worship. Come on, guys, invite Holy Spirit right now because he's going to do something pretty amazing. I can feel him. In that moment, he said, I want $100 from you.
Yeah.
And when she gave her $100, she was fed by the confirmation, by the voice of the Lord that, like, this is true food. To do the will of the Lord, to trade your old desires for something new that meets the needs of your heart. Yeah, it like totally wrecked us. But Leroy, when he said, I'm full, I remember we both were just like, no, but really, let's go get food. And he was like, no, I'm full. Like, he wasn't trying to be spiritual. He didn't know how. He literally was like, I'm full now. And that was such a special moment for us because I felt like the Lord was telling me and telling us And this isn't just like a, oh, well, you guys are awesome moment. This is just us telling a story where the Lord came to us and said, I have a new desire for you, that you would feed the poor, that you would clothe the naked. And by doing my will, like what Jesus said, I've done the will of the Lord. And by doing his will, it's food and nourishment for me. Jesus himself needed to be fulfilled by his Father when he was here. So if he needs to be satisfied by the Lord, don't you think we need to be satisfied? And you're like, well, I don't understand the secret to this Christian life. I don't know how to be free. I don't know how to walk this narrow road. It's so much simpler than we've made it. It's to be satisfied by the Lamb. It's to be satisfied and to eat that bread and drink that wine that was at the communion table with Jesus and his 12 disciples. And he said, this is my body that was broken for you. And they ate that, and that was fulfilling. And they drank it, and his blood is sufficient and fulfilling. And this moment with Leroy just changed my life. I've prayed for so many people. We've bought other people stuff. It changed our lives. We literally went back to the hotel and we just cried and we were like, this is the craziest vacation. And the next day we looked for Leroy and we couldn't find him. We searched like everywhere. We're like, where is Leroy? Because we want to take him out to eat. And we couldn't find him. And it just felt like, man, the Lord sent us Leroy. And maybe Leroy was like, man, the Lord sent us them. But either way, both of us were fed that night.